We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
The whole dynamic of my 5 o'clock hour just changed because we're bumping in with Free Will from Rush. I don't know. That just puts me in a good mood. So.
Good.
Definitely a St. Louis thing. 5:08, Mark Reardon on this Tuesday evening. Sue's gone the rest of the week, right? When are you back?
Tuesday.
Okay, next Tuesday. So we will, I'm out on Monday and Friday.
So we will reconvene on Tuesday.
We will do that. Yeah, I'm heading out to Vegas for a music festival this weekend called Life is Beautiful. Looking forward to that. It's only going to be around 100 degrees, but it's a dry heat.
It will be better for us in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin is beautiful during the fall. You know, I spent almost 10 years there, and my favorite months were any months outside of December, January, February, March, April, and maybe June, because it was still cold, believe it or not.
In June, it's still cold.
I mean, I wore hoodies and sweatshirts. I lived by the lake, like right near the lake. But the beginning of June, I started at WTMJ June 1st, 1997, and it was in the either upper 30s or like a 40-degree temperature, low temperature. But I'm like, what the hell?
That's a lot. Yeah, no. That's a lot.
I am ready for some mild fall weather as we segue in.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine.
How about,
here's
my concern, though. We're sitting here, we're still in the 80s, around 90, right? Yeah. Are we going to go right to the 60s? Can we not have a few 77 degree days?
Dave said high of 80 tomorrow. It was 91 today, 80 tomorrow.
That's good.
We're starting the cooling process.
Right, right. Ian Scher is with us from CNET. I wonder what his weather is like out on the East Coast. You got good weather right now? How are you, Ian?
It is awful weather. We are with the heat index, we're somewhere around 94, 95.
Ooh,
I'm miserable.
Well, that's awful.
Well, I think we missed.
You know, the hot air from Capitol Hill and all the humidity, it just makes it so hard.
Definitely. That's definitely what's causing it. There's no doubt about it. So Apple had the fall event today, and they rolled out a bunch of new products, didn't they? Did we find out stuff about the new iPhone?
Yeah, so, you know, they announced the iPhone 13, which hopefully is a more lucky number than most people feel. And what's interesting about it is that a lot of the design is very similar to the iPhone 12, right? And if you've seen it, it's, you know, they changed the design quite a bit last year. They went from a curved edge to a square edge. Yes, that's where we are in terms of the tech industry. A square edge is considered a new design. And the thing is that with this year's model, a lot of the outward appearance hasn't changed. It's really inside that they made a lot of differences. And the biggest change is battery life. They say that they've got much better battery life in the phones, getting somewhere around an hour and a half to 2 hours more than you would otherwise, which, you know, a lot of people might kind of turn their noses up and say, well, you know, 2 hours isn't that much. But when you're down to your last 15 minutes, 2 hours feels pretty good.
I think that's significant, and here's why. You know, and I have the 12 Pro Max, and I've kept relatively up to speed with new iPhones. I don't think I'm going to be able to rush out and get this one. But this was sold as something that had a much better battery, and it probably did compared to my previous iPhone, but I still drain it. I could use another 2 hours every once in a while. You know, I put it on low power mode, works a little bit, but I've run out, unfortunately.
Yeah, and there are a couple of things that they did with this new phone that hopefully are going to make the difference. One of them is that the chip inside that powers it, that Apple designed, it is actually a lot more efficient, they say. And look, the 12 was more efficient than the 11. That's always more. But they say that it's even better this time around. And the other thing they did is they introduced a new screen technology into the phone, where what it does is that it actually draws less power when it's not doing power-hungry things. So, for example, if you're just reading, it's not going to be refreshing the screen a ton, right? No, it's not going to be – normally your screen is refreshing 30 or 60 times a second. You know, it, when you're just reading and you've got a bunch of words on the screen, you don't need more than, like, 10 refreshes a second, maybe even more than that. And if you're playing a game, it goes all the way up to 120. So it'll really kind of go up and down and up and down. They say by doing that, it's going to save a lot more battery life. And then finally, it's also going to switch off of 5G whenever you're not really needing it. So where I am, we don't really have 5G a lot. But where people are, it does suck down battery life. And, you know, let's say, again, you're just reading email. You don't need 5G. So it'll kick over to the lower end of the cellular signals and hopefully save you some battery life that way, too.
Hey, Ian, it's Sue. I've got a question for you because I live in the Android world, right? And Galaxy has that new phone that you fold. Now, is Apple going to do that, or is that just something you see as a flash in the pan? Or what are your
thoughts? I have seen the commercial for that
phone. It's pretty dang cool, Ian.
It is very cool. No, look, we at CNET have been really excited about folding phones for a long time. And I remember when it was just a technology idea, right? Where Samsung would bring it out at shows and show it wrapped around a phone pole, and they'd be like, look at that. And they're like, okay, sure, whatever, one day, maybe. And look, the truth is that these folding phones are very futuristic feeling. And I think a lot of experts out there, including, by the way, Star Trek and a bunch of sci-fi, they believe that the future is in these devices that you can kind of fold up and put in your pocket or get rid of somehow. So it's not a question of whether this is the right kind of way to go for Samsung. I think the challenge for Apple is that right now a lot of these devices are still rather fragile. You know, the Galaxy Fold, right, which is the one that Samsung sells, for it is actually, you know, up until now, it wasn't able to take any water at all, right? So, you know, if you sprinkled water on it, it would be unhappy. And it still isn't dust resistant. When you compare it to the iPhone and even Samsung's other phones, which can handle a little bit of dust, they can handle water, they can go underwater for like up to 3 meters for 30 minutes. Like those types of things are things you can't do with a fold. And so Apple says, okay, well, if I'm looking at this, I'm trying to get to the most people possible. Do I want to raise my prices by 50%, which is what the Fold costs, and also have a more fragile phone, or do I want to stick with what I know until I can figure it out?
I wondered about that. Do you think it was the right choice, Ian? What are your thoughts on that? Because that other one looks cool.
As a tech nerd, I really find folding phones really fun and exciting. But I also have young kids, and the reality is that they are aggressive on my devices. And I personally have not had them anywhere near the fragile stuff I have because, let's be honest, right? And so I think that for me right now, I'm very interested in seeing what will be the tipping point for when Apple will get into this world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What will it take for them to be able to do that? Because clearly they are not convinced that they can sell the, you know, billions of dollars worth of phones and folding phones right now.
Well, when you say, you caught my attention on something here a minute ago, when you say dust resistant, what does that mean?
So it can be everything, right? It can be, I mean, honest to God, it could be in your pocket, right? It could be that even when you are, you know, some people drop their phone on the ground and maybe, you know, it's gotten in the dirt a little bit, right? There's Apple's ads, they even have it fall in mud, although I don't recommend it. It can't take sand very well because sand is super conductive and it could destroy it. But generally speaking, the phones are actually a lot more capable of dealing with being impacted by the outside world than they used to be. They're still not perfect by any stretch. And I'm waiting for the time I can take an iPhone down diving and get rid of my GoPro. But in the meantime,
you might not be too far away from that. I mean, I don't know the estimate is, because I think you can take these things. I've read the testing on CNET, and you can take these things down lower than they say you can. But my wife's actually taking good underwater pictures, but we haven't taken them deep.
Right.
But
I would not go down to the bottom of the. Of the coral reefs and whatnot yet. But I have no question that at some point we're going to get there. And that's going to be super cool, right? Because these things are really capable and helpful, and they've got apps and all that stuff. And I'm sure, I mean, I always, whenever I went diving, I would have trouble figuring out what fish I was looking at. And they were showing off today. They have an app that you can get for trees that literally will tell you what tree is in front of you just by looking at it.
See, that's
wow,
cool.
This is incredible.
I would totally use that. Ian, didn't they also do, did they have a new watch today too, an Apple Watch?
Yes. So the Apple Watch, they also upgraded. And this one actually got a little bit of a design change. The biggest thing is that it got a larger screen. And right back to the iPhone conversation, they also made it so that it was dust and water resistant even better. So, you know, for people who are especially, you know, taking it to go swimming or even being able to, you know, they were showing examples of people on bike rides and making it impact resistant so that if you fall off your bike and on your watch, which I'm sure like six people will, the rest will fall on
your shoulders.
You
broke your collarbone, but your Apple Watch is in great shape.
Well, you wouldn't want to spend that extra money, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is that they said it's impact resistant and it's dust resistant even better, so it's able to take the trails better, which, sure, whatever, right? I mean, you know, one of the things Apple's been pushing really hard is the idea of really making this work well for the sport world, and they are finding a lot of ways to do that.
So I guess maybe 4 months into my Apple Watch experience, and I scoffed at the notion for many years, but then my wife wanted one, and they sucked me in with the, hey, you can get a free one if you buy, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
but I do,
it.
I like it quite a bit, and it's functional for me. And I wasn't sure how functional it would be. Some of the features are on my phone, but it's easier around the house in particular to not carry the phone with me. I'm grilling some burgers tonight, for example. I'll hit the stopwatch on my timer app.
There you go.
Again, you can do these things on other devices,
but it
just makes it so easy walking around and doing things. And then if somebody calls you or texts you, you can see it on the watch. So I'm a fan. And Sue has a Samsung.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have the Garmin version, actually,
that works with
my Samsung. But what I love, Ian, is that you can swim in it, and I can do all the different sports. I mean, I assume the new Apple does that too, right? You can swim in one?
It does.
Okay.
Yes, you can swim. You can do all sorts of stuff. They've been able to do that since the second year. But, you know, I'll tell you, I mean, look, I'm not exactly the most sporty person in the world. But I will tell you that for me, the Apple Watch, and I was using smartwatches before that, too. But, you know, I joke around, it saved my marriage. And part of that is because I was so tied. And Mark, you go through this, right? We're so tied to our phones because of our emails and work and how much people are trying to get our attention. And the reality was that I was unable to get away from work a lot of times, especially during stuff like this. And so what happened was the Apple Watch, I was able to set that certain people are able to get my attention and other people aren't. And suddenly I was able to set it so that my editor's trying to get my attention. They can get a phone call through to my watch. And it turned into my phone would buzz, my watch wouldn't. I'm like, okay, I can wait. And I'll tell you, it completely changed the way I use technology.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
You can select who gets through. Wow, that's genius.
Let me think about this. Let me put this into practical purposes here. So if Steve, our boss, wants to call, because he's usually not calling me to say good things. It's something that Mark did wrong, but I'm going to have to try that out. All right, anything else that we learned today from the Apple event? And by the way, I saw the stock went down. The shareholders didn't like all this. I don't know. Do you know anything about that?
Well, you could say that. Look, I'm not exactly in the brains of every investor, but you know, having worked at the Wall Street Journal, there was a term we like to use called profit taking, right? Buy the rumor, sell the news, and I wonder whether that might be part of it, right? Is that simply people are like, okay, well, we know what they're going to do, and you know, we'll just take the money at this point.
Don't you think, Ian? Part of it also is that it's not that big of a change from the 12, like. If you're going to do something really new and interesting, yay, it resists more dust and has a better battery. But that's not like, you know,
well, because
earth-shattering.
Example of that, Sue, perfect example. It was 4 months ago that I got this phone.
Yeah.
And it's the 12 Pro Max, and I'm thinking, oh, man. And I went through this in my mind. I'm thinking, should I wait until the fall? Because the new one is going to be out. I made the decision to go with this one. Then I start hearing Ian about this new phone, thinking, oh, man, am I going to be disappointed?
I don't think I am.
I think I'm okay to wait till next year or whenever.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and look, the reality is that most people are on a 2, 3, or 4 year upgrade cycle. And this is something that's like, it comes out in the sales data. We've studied it. We know this is the fact.
Oh, that's
and so
true.
The reality is that for a lot of people, like, you know, we're all kind of Apple watchers on some level, right? We know enough to be able to talk about previous year's phone and this year's phone. And we watch this stuff enough that we know that. For people who aren't doing that, the change from 4 years ago to today is enormous.
Okay, that's
and
a good
so
point.
For, you know, a lot of people, they look at it and they think, oh, year to year, Apple's incremental progress and all of these companies, right? The incremental progress that they make over the years may be humdrum year to year, but it is really impressive when you put them up against each other from many years ago.
Right. And sometimes that's true. I forget, because I do like the new, the biggest and the best, that there
too.
Are people
of
that
course.
Still have flip phones.
I didn't think about it. Yeah. Well, four
and I'm not
years.
Talking about the new one. I'm not
You're
talking
right.
about the Samsung.
4 years is a big gap. I'm a, you know, I don't get the next one. You're right. I'm a 2 year. I'm going to try to go for three. You know, I'm going to see if they'll do
and
that
you
flip
can.
Phone, flip phone, and make it more dust resistant, which I didn't realize was a thing. But now I'm in.
Yeah. Well, no, look, I think that the reality is that Apple and Samsung and everybody are dealing with is that all of these, I mean, our computers too, all of our stuff is good enough these days, right? I mean, I'm literally looking at an 8-year-old computer that I'm using today to work. And I, you know, you go back 20 years, you couldn't use an 8-year-old computer to do anything.
True.
But we've gotten to a point where these things are powerful enough that you can go multiple years without having to worry about upgrading. And that's a challenge, right? That's a challenge for Apple and Samsung to convince us to keep
Absolutely.
Upgrading.
It is.
But
yeah.
it's also a benefit to you. If you look at it and you're like, I'll wait. You can.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, one thing I wanted to spend some time on, but I think we're not going to have the time here, and I thought this was interesting. I think Fred might have mentioned too. So there was a piece in the Wall Street Journal today about Facebook that said that the headline is Facebook knows Instagram is toxic for teen girls. Facebook owns Instagram, company documents show. Its own in-depth research shows a significant teen mental health issue that Facebook plays down in public. And Ian, they have this story about Anastasia Vlasova, who is a little girl who started seeing a therapist. She had an eating disorder. She joined Instagram at 13. She was spending 3 hours a day. TikTok is the same way. Have you read that story and any reaction to it?
Yeah, I've read that, and also yesterday's story where they talked about whitelisting people who caused trouble on the platform. And look, I know all of the reporters who reported that story. I've worked with them directly at the Journal. They are incredible reporters. And I think the important thing to keep in mind here is that the constant thing we keep reading, and I encourage everyone to read these stories, they're long, but they're incredible,
yeah.
is that the lesson that we learn from them is that what Facebook tells us about what they think about how this platform works and how it impacts people, they know that they're lying to us. They know that they're not telling us the truth about the impact that it has. And in yesterday's story, they referenced the tobacco industry, right? There's, you know, there's a sure. question about RJ Reynolds knew that it was harming people day after day. And Facebook, now we learn, also knows that. And so the question I have to ask is, what do we do now that we know that this company is aware of how dangerous it is?
That's a very good question, because the options are limited, probably.
They are to a degree, right? I mean, there is increasing efforts on Capitol Hill to start trying to change antitrust laws to at least start having some responsibility around these issues, right? I mean, if Facebook isn't even willing to tell us the truth about what's going on, or even when they tell us they're going to tell us the truth, right? And they let researchers in and see their data, and then we find out years later that the data was actually not even full data, and they cut it down so that it wouldn't look as bad. I mean, it's just constant that this company is not willing to do what it takes to be responsible about the platform they have.
Well, this
and
is a really good piece. Yeah, this draw.
Yeah.
Go ahead and continue. It's really good. And, you know, they mentioned, too, the other thing people have to remember is that Zuckerberg was talking about another Instagram product for even kids under 13. So
yep.
these are, I think we do have to have some conversations about the effects that social media is having on kids. I just don't know what the options are. But Ian, great information about the Apple rollout today. We appreciate it. You have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. You take care.
Sue, I have an interview to do here, but we've been just remembering Norm Macdonald in the studio because I have an audio cut of the day coming up. Norm Macdonald, brilliant, brilliant comedian. I said this on Twitter. I don't use that word. Well, we all use the word too much, right?
Yeah.
But I think he was a brilliant comedian. Really, really one of my favorites. And he died at the age of 61. So we're going to feature Norm during audio cut of the day. And we're watching the old Jeopardy bit with
Where
Will
he was
Ferrell.
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
It's
Sue
just
is crying right
killer.
Now.
Sue it is so funny.
Well, he wasn't. His name's not Burt.
No. It's Turd Ferguson.
It was good. So we'll feature Mr. McDonald here in just a couple of minutes during Audio Cut of the Day. So there was a hearing yesterday, and I think I misspoke. Happens every once in a while. I think I said it was in Jeff City. It was not. It was at Lyndon University. There's a Senate committee that was put together, a special Senate committee by the Senate President, Dave Schatz, who is a Republican from Sullivan, to kind of look into the issues that are facing the St. Louis region. And there was testimony for the Interim Committee on Greater St. Louis Regional Emerging Issues at Lindenwood University. You had the mayor, Tashara Jones, Jason Hall, the CEO of Greater STL Inc., and Steve Ellman, the St. Charles County executive, also testified. His perspective, a little different than the others. He joins us this afternoon. How are you, Steve?
I'm fine, Mark. You?
I'm good. So tell me, I know that I ask you about the mayor every once in a while. I'm not trying to get you to tell me what the mayor might think. But obviously, the way that I understood it is the mayor goes up. She's the first witness. She says that the number one issue is gun violence and public safety. And then Jason Hall talks about how the lack of growth is the number one issue in the St. Louis region. He does not make any mention of crime. Did that happen first and foremost?
Yeah, you're right about the mayor. The third issue that she wanted to talk about was was abortion, and she thinks that somehow that has something to do with
that
it.
I missed that gem. That was something that she put out there at the
forefront.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a company in Texas that's talking about wanting to move because of the Texas abortion law and on its way to the courts.
They want to go to one of the most crime-ridden cities in America. Is that what she's
trying
to say?
Yeah, I think Senator Onder asked her, she talked about that situation. He said, now who's growing more, Texas or Missouri?
Right. Well, on your front in St. Charles County, look, you and I have talked about this. I think a lot of people know the growth in St. Charles County, but your message to this panel was what? Because people are moving to your county to get away from some of this nonsense, right?
And you want to know why they're moving.
Well, is that the question that you were asked?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you one. How's your first grader like her school?
Well, right now she likes it quite a bit because she's in school. So she's in Rockwood, which is a great district. But if you're in a district that's not so good, you might want to move somewhere else.
And that's why people move to St. Charles County and other places for good schools and safe neighborhoods. And obviously, the legislature can do a lot about the schools. They can also help our local folks do a better job with safety. And I presented several ways in which I thought they could do that. But again, and even Jason, if you recall, he mentioned the fact that I gave him a few suggestions when they came out with their jobs plan. Well, actually, I gave him about 8 pages worth. And there was two major issues. One was regionalism, and the other was crime. And they came back with a new version in which they really address a lot of the regional issues. And I'm looking forward to working with Greater STL on regionalism. But they refused to take a position on crime, saying that it was a complicated issue and they'd have to get into it, when the legislature went into session.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. I mean, it's just, we also had some of the more liberal senators talking about when they got into crime, and with Tashara and Jason both, just talking about the usual litany of programs and efforts by government to, provide better education and better jobs and better training and all these various things. And the fact of the matter is, if that's the only way we can solve this, that's about a 12-year project, because we're going to have to start doing things differently in the first grade, and 12 years from now, we may have an answer. And it's not to say that we shouldn't try to do a better job in that area, but we've got to deal with the crisis that's on us right now. And I don't know, was there something today or yesterday?
Yeah, well, so no. Are you talking about the public safety initiative?
Yeah,
thing?
Yeah. Were they talking about 30 cops on the street, I believe?
Yeah, so
someone told me.
She's talking about putting more cops downtown. I don't know why this didn't happen a long time ago with Lyda Crewson. We've been talking about it. I mean, I've been talking about it for I don't know how many years now to do that. We're told we can't hire more cops. So there is going to be that effort. But outside of that, they've put together this panel. Dan Isom, former police chief, who's the interim director of public safety. And then really really a bunch of people that have nothing to do with law enforcement, including Vanessa Cooksey. She must be an expert here on crime. She's the president and CEO of the Regional Arts Commission. So they're going to tap into experts on crime for this panel. And you mentioned Jason Hall. So this, Jason Hall is on this panel. Jason Hall is the guy that yesterday said that growth is our number one issue. Now, maybe that's his wheelhouse, if you will, at Greater STL Inc. But you have a hard time convincing me that if a guy like Jason Hall cannot confront the reality of what's happening here in St. Louis with crime, we ain't going to grow.
Well, what I was hoping Jason would do, and it's obvious with the three people that the committee chairperson put on that first meeting, is we had somebody from the left, Ashara, and we had somebody from the right, which was me, and then we had somebody from the business community, which ought to be right down the middle, okay? And in many ways, Jason gave a down-the-middle, pro-business-type presentation. But I can't believe that Michael Neidorff is the only business leader in this community that isn't upset about the level of crime and isn't concerned about the way it's keeping him from building his company the way he wants to.
Well, he's not. So we learned that last week when we found out that there are a lot of businesses even now calling the mayor's office and saying, look, we may have to look into relocating. You're not keeping us safe enough. And now there's these desperation tactics to make it look like they're doing something when you should have been working on this. And again, I think a lot of this goes back to the previous administration. I'd love to blame Mayor Jones on a lot of this, but there was a lack of action on the part of the Cruson administration as well.
Well, we need to give Mayor Jones some time, but you know it's been what, 6 months now. So let's see what happens on this. But 30 police officers downtown St. Louis. You know how big downtown St. Charles is? It's basically eight blocks on one street. And last summer, when all the other bars in the whole region were closed and we were the only ones open, and we had thousands of people down here and potential problems, we had 16 cops just in that one small area.
Right.
So, 30's great, but is it enough? We'll have to wait and see.
So what was your takeaway then from what happened yesterday? Because there was somebody that had an anonymous person that weighed in who is somebody that was described as a Republican, somebody who promotes St. Louis, someone who, is a cheerleader here, that said, after hearing all this, the bottom line is the region is divided on what its most pressing issues are. And if the region doesn't get out of its own way, it's not going to partner together with the state to move the region forward. So is that part of your takeaway, or would you have a different perspective?
Yeah, I'm afraid that might be the first impression, and that may be what came out of yesterday. But I think this committee, I think, they're going to have several meetings. And they asked me several questions. And again, I told them, here's my opinion, but you need to get the police officers in here. You need to get the prosecuting attorneys. You need to get the people who are responsible for public safety and get their take on this. And let's decide what exactly, we can do. One of the things I mentioned is, the people in the city have been paying state taxes forever and ever. And back in 1931, when they created the Highway Patrol, the city of St. Louis wasn't excited about a Highway Patrol. You know why? They were afraid they'd come in and enforce the prohibition laws. So guess what? They wrote the statute. So the Highway Patrol only patrols state highways,
right,
and none of the highways in the city were state roads.
And that's the history,
okay,
of that. That makes
and
sense.
And that's the history of that. But, prohibition ended a long time ago. And the people in St. Louis have been paying their state taxes, too. And they, MoDOT, even start maintaining some of the roads, Natural Bridge, St. Charles Rock Road, Olive Page. Those are areas right in the high-crime area, and there's no reason those people shouldn't have the benefit of the Highway Patrol, just like you and I do in our neighborhoods.
But, Steve, you're making the mistake of talking about innovation and connecting it with government, and that does not happen. You're probably aware of that, right? I mean, get innovation in business, and that's what propels it forward, but government is stuck with these old solutions and nothing seems to work. You got to get creative.
Well,
this is a situation that cries, it screams for creativity along the lines of what you're saying, but it doesn't seem to ever manifest itself.
Well, we're in a bad position right now. I mean, we have a lot of folks that aren't interested in solving the problems. They're just interested in, I don't know, interested in a soundbite or a something they can run on the next election. We really, you know, when I was in Jefferson City, I mean, I was in the minority in the, as a Republican, but we conservatives there really had an impact, and we really did, I think, solve some basic problems. And we can do that again in the majority in Jefferson City. And I just would love to see our legislators, you know, the city of St. Louis, St. Charles County, St. Louis County, we're all political subdivisions of the state. We derive our power from the state constitution, which either gives it to us directly or allows the legislature to give it to us. And they can give us those powers we need, or they can take away powers that we're not using properly. And I just would love to see the Republicans in Jefferson City be more aggressive and take a leadership role, because I don't see it coming from the from some of the local leaders.
Steve Allman, who's the St. Charles County executive, I don't have a lot of time, but I do want to get into COVID a little bit and an inquiry that you made about some of the quarantine rules. Can you break that down for me?
Yeah, we've had several people complaining about quarantine, and it is a little bit confusing to folks that, you know, we're basically using some of the same rules that the state has given us last year, and we're still using them, even though, last Sunday we had 80,000 people in Arrowhead Stadium. So things appear to be better in some ways. Now, you know, the problem is in the school age kids, things are not necessarily better. And those are the kids who are being quarantined if they're sick. And even if they're not sick, if they've had a close contact, yeah, they have to quarantine under the state rules.
Yeah, and that, so those rules have not evolved, and that's creating difficulty.
Yeah, and actually what we did is we met with our superintendents and agreed with them that what we need is to amend those rules so that the kids who are on quarantine could come back to school as long as they wore a mask, okay, and instead of staying home and not learning. So the idea was to get the kids back in school, but it was not in line with the state guidelines. So we wrote a letter to the state, to the director of Health and Senior Services, and asked them, here's what we want to do. Can we do it? And I was hoping just for a simple yes, and we were ready to do that. Instead, he last Friday sent us a message, said, listen, I'm not going to answer your question right now. We're reviewing all of this, and we're going to have a call among all the public health agencies and all the schools. And we found out today that's going to be a week from today. And they're going to announce, hopefully, a new policy that is more reasonable. And we'll just have to wait and see for sure exactly what that is.
Well, at least there's a sense of urgency.
Yeah, and, you know, when he sent me that email on Friday, I said, listen, that's great. I think you need to review all of this. I said, but you need to do it quickly, because there's a lot of people out there that are upset, and they don't really understand why their kids have to stay home. And if we had, you know, I had the opportunity, I think I could explain it to them. But,
well, that's only going to get worse.
It's not all being explained very well,
and
let's put it that way.
And it is going to get worse, and we know that, especially as we head into the fall, and there's other things, you know, that are floating around as well. But you wrote the letter on the 8th. He responded on the 10th. We're at the 15th tomorrow, so you see how quickly the time goes by. Steve, it's always great to have the updates from St. Charles County. I appreciate it.
Hey, enjoy it, Mark.
All right, take care. 5:46, audio cut of the day. Norm MacDonald is definitely a lock today. He passed away at the age of 61. Go far from here and make a new world together. All right, 5:53. We started the show today talking about Norm MacDonald because he passed away. I don't think a lot of people, I did not know. Dave, did you know he had cancer?
No, it was
very,
very much a secret.
I guess he kept that private, and he passed away at the age of 61 years old. So we have to feature Norm MacDonald in this segment today, no doubt about it.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Now, he did Weekend Update from, you guys know the years, 94 to 98. And the rumor, I don't know, he wrote about this in his book, and I heard him talking to Stern about this years ago. He wrote his book in 2016. So Don Ohlmeyer was the president of NBC Entertainment West Coast. He did not like MacDonald's position on his good buddy. By his, I mean Don Ohlmeyer's good buddy, O.J. Simpson.
Thanks, I'm Norm MacDonald, and now the fake news. Well, it is finally official. Murder is legal in the state of California. On Tuesday at 1:15, the moment the Simpson verdict was delivered, Court TV scored its highest ratings ever. An hour later, the channel went out of business.
So he may have gotten into trouble over that. Of course, he had a short-lived comedy called Norm from 99 to 2001. I pointed out earlier, he and Wanda Sykes wrote that season of Roseanne when they came back before they kicked Roseanne Barr out. That was awesome.
I didn't realize
that.
Yeah, wow.
He's a brilliant writer as well. But we like this. We had to feature this.
And finally, back again, Burt Reynolds in a commanding lead with $14.
Hey, check out the podium. Look at this.
Mr. Reynolds has apparently changed his name to Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, that's right. Turd Ferguson. It's a funny name.
Mr. Reynolds, unfortunately, you're in the lead, so we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll take the condom thing for $8,000.
That's condiments. For $400. This condiment is made from mustard seeds. French Stewart.
The answer, of course, is onions. I'll take condiments for $800. Thank you.
That was a young Jimmy
That's
Fallon.
Not the right answer. Burt Reynolds.
That's not my name.
Okay. Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, what do you want?
You buzzed in.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, well, that's your opinion.
So this is an audio medium, but some of the best parts of that bit were when Norm's just kind of cracking a smile and he says, "That's not my name. That's not my name." Norm MacDonald, dead at the age of 61.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.